Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
This morning to a song at our house. Pastor Rex is here and just got in late last night from Panama from the missions trip. I'm sitting there going, you have no rival. On one of the songs that Gina was playing, I think it was Gina that was playing, but with this light bulb in this lamp that she found, this gadget that has a Bluetooth. I'm like, YouTube? It's a Bluetooth light bulb with a speaker in it. And I'm sitting there eating I can barely hear anything. I got, my ears are clogged, my head's clogged. I really don't have that much of a voice. And everybody said, amen. There you go, that's what I thought. Rex will be speaking here in just a few minutes, but I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what is that sound? Because I'm hearing music and I thought, is heaven that close? The way I felt coming off that plane last night, I'm like, finally I looked at Gina and said, what's that noise? What is it? I'm hearing music. And then I hear, you have no rival. You have no equal. That stuck with me this morning. Think about that. You have no rival. There's no one that rivals him. There's no one that can possibly rival the authority. It's not just the power. He has the authority to speak into existence, and he proved it because he spoke everything that is. He spoke it into existence. You have no rival. You don't even have an equal. There is none like you. There is none like you. How great is our God? If we ever get that, I don't get it. I can't. Every once in a while the wave hits me. You have no rival. The enemy, you remember what happened to him when he tried to rival him? One third of the angels followed him because they bought into the lie. Oh, there's a rival. There is an equal. I was on that plane last night on the way back from Houston to St. Louis, and I sat next to a United Airlines pilot. I was like, thank you, Jesus. I'm sitting next to the insurance policy. Like having a third pilot on board. Jesus is more than an insurance. I know some of you thought, no, Jesus is the insurance policy. No, he's not. He owns the company. But I'm sitting there next to him and I started talking to him and he said, he asked what we do. And he said, you know, I know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of my life. And I thought, I said, do you pray before you fly? He said, every time. I said, I want to fly with you. Because the man who's wise enough to know, it's like a surgeon going into surgery, right? You want a doctor that'll know how to hold your hand and say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, make your hands through my hands today. That's the pilot I want. Well, I have the pilot. His name is Jesus. And he's always abiding in me. I don't have an insurance policy. I have the King, the Spirit of the living God abiding in me. And he has no rival. He has no equal. I don't want anything close to it. I don't want anything that looks like it. I just want the King. And Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, before we go any further in this service, that if there's anyone in this room that's struggling with any issue, they had to fight through it this week. In fact, they found themselves almost not being here to worship you this morning, together with other believers. I ask you, Father, that you would speak encouragement into them when the storm looks like it's getting at its worst. that you, Father, would speak into them, I have it all in control. I have it all in my hands. I'm flying you through the winds. I'm flying you through the storms. I'm flying you through everything the turbulence are throwing your way. But I am flying you through it. And I am holding you through. I'm not just holding your hand. I'm carrying you through it. I ask you, Father, do that. Two of the four legs. I had one leg. I had a pilot behind me. His name's Rick. Rick Rouse. That leg, I had a pilot sitting next to me to my right. And I was just constantly reminded of questions I always wanted to ask the pilot. And I would ask the pilot these things. I said, why is it that y'all want us to turn this off when we take off? I thought I knew the answer to that. He said, it has nothing to do with our navigational systems. I was shocked by that. He said, it causes interference in the pilot's headphones and he can't hear the instruction. He said, every time a person turns their cell phone on or off, we know that because we get this zzzz in our headphones. And I thought, Lord Jesus, I'm turning mine off. From now on, before I even get on the plane, I'm turning mine off. But he said, and here's a believer again. He said, you see, the enemy causes interference in hearing the instruction. And it's very important instruction. Sometimes the instruction is go around again. There's someone on the runway in front of you. If we don't catch the instruction, it could be catastrophic. And I want you to know something. There's interference the enemy is throwing at you this week. He's throwing at you. He continues to throw it at you. And there's interference that may be stopping you from hearing the instruction. He said every time someone tries to send a message, he said the interference just causes the strangest noises, and we'll even sometimes have to ask him to repeat it two or three times. He said every flight, several people are turning their cell phones on during the flight. Let me ask you something. Sometimes we send the interference. Sometimes things we do causes the interference in other people's lives. You see, the interference, chances are it's somebody that's hurting you or has hurt you in the past, and the interference just keeps coming from the enemies. Sometimes we just want to make sure we're not sending the interference. I'm glad I had my phone off. I'm glad I had my phone off. I don't want to be the one sending interference. But I also don't want to be the one receiving the interference. Father, in Jesus' name, by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, because we come in the name of the Lord. We come in the name of the Lord. We come in the name of the Lord. It's not just words that we say that we come in the name of Jesus. No. If we don't come in the name of Jesus, if we're not truly commissioned in the name of Jesus, it's not enough just to speak the words in the name of Jesus. Demons will have to flee. Yes, if you come truly in the name of Jesus, he will flee. And today we come and we serve notice to the enemy today. We serve notice to the enemy today. You already recognize that we're coming in the name of the Master. And I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to crush any distraction, to crush any interference in our spiritual ears. Crush that today by the power and the might of all of heaven. Don't, Father, we're asking that it be mightily crushed, that you would, in such an obvious way to us, let us see the hand of the enemy crushed and the interference shut down in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the authority of that name, we come under the authority of all of heaven. And we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I speak that to him. Say, yes, Lord. I receive that in Jesus' name. Tell him, shut the interference down. Shut the interference down. Shut the distraction down. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. How great is our God. 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 What a great day in the Lord. What a great day in the Lord. You may be seated. I'm going to tell you something, guys. You're anointed. That worship is anointed. God's Spirit showing up on you guys today. You guys are anointed in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there is nothing like worshiping with God's people. There really isn't. This idea that I can just stay home and I'll do church on TV. Hey, I don't get to watch it very much, but I love watching good stuff on TV. But there is nothing like coming in here together, worshiping God together. He is an amazing, our family is pretty special. Family is pretty special. It just is. Rex is here today. He went on the trip with us. I love that. This is the Energizer battery. It's like hanging with the Energizer battery. Would you make welcome Pastor Rex?
I do love Barry and Gina Ivy. Actually, I want to talk to you this morning, if you don't mind, for a few minutes about something that I really am clear that the Lord put into my heart to share. And I even get a pulpit. How cute is that? Thank you, guys. You are... Bam. I'm just so impressed. Yeah, bam, Emerald. Does anybody remember Emerald? Yeah. Bam. Okay, sorry. Two of my favorite people on the planet, I have a lot of favorite people on the planet, but there are two women that I have come to really just believe are about the nicest human beings that walk the face of the planet. And you can always learn from the nicest human beings that walk the face of the planet. Yes, you can. Two of them. One of them I know really well because I've lived with her for many, 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 many years. She's very young, but I've lived with her for a really long time. And the other one is Gina Ivy, whom I've known for, 30-something years now. Wow. Wow. And I just recently had the opportunity to listen. In fact, my wife this morning, right now, while we're talking here, my wife is preaching at Faith Assembly in Arlington, Texas. And because she's my wife and because she, you know, just we're a team, she shared with me all the things that the Lord had put into her heart to share with this fellowship. And it was kind of interesting to me because I had just finished that conversation while we were down in Panama this week. And, you know, it was just, you know, the wonderful miracle of the phones. And so I had finished this conversation with her. And then I kind of came to our Friday morning devotional time. And we had planned, there was a speaker plan, Herman was going to be there, but he was late in arriving, and so Barry just kind of gave Gina the nod, and Gina Ivy jumped up and shared what the Lord had put in her heart. And it was the very same subject that my wife had felt compelled to share in this morning's meeting in Arlington, Texas, and I thought, I see a pattern here. I see what the Lord is doing. So I just want to talk to you about it. If you don't mind, we overplay great. There's a series of commercials right now. I'm sure if I were able to pull them up, you'd see them and know them. But if I said, stay in your lane, bro. Most of you would remember. Or, have you ever had Dr. Harris? Oh, yeah, he's okay. Just okay? You know, is okay okay? No, we're looking for the best, the brightest, the coolest, the sharpest, the great. Good somehow isn't good anymore. We always want the superlative, the best, the finest, the greatest, the coolest, the nicest, the sharpest. You know what? I think good... it's really good. Amen. Yeah. See, I can just see you guys are going, I hope this message is great. No. Nope, not me. I just hope it's good. And I hope you get a handle this morning on the goodness of the Lord. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Jesus went about doing... can I say it again? That's what Gina had shared on Friday. Jesus went about doing good. and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's what it says in Acts 10:38. Peter referenced that when he was preaching to the folks in Cornelius' household. But I've got to get you to understand that we overplay the idea of bringing healing to all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. We way oversell the idea of the miraculous empowerment of God. Jesus didn't set about to go around healing the sick. He went about with the primary purpose of doing, fill in the blank, of doing good. And when you look at that word in the scripture, it doesn't mean miraculous power. It's not this amazing miracle moment. It's not this powerful prayer. The doing good that Jesus went around doing was giving himself. It was philanthropy. It was taking their goods and giving it away. It was funding people who were in need. The reason that the guy at the gate, can you bring this down just a little bit? The reason that the guy at the gate in Acts chapter 3 knew that these people would give him alms was because every time they'd gone through before, they likely gave him alms. And most of that was probably ordered of the Lord. It's very clear that Jesus' primary purpose in the world was to come and rescue us from our sins and defeat the devil and do all of these amazing, wonderful things for us. But here's the truth. He did it in the context of a life just filled with good works and goodness. Just going around being kind and gracious. Just going around bringing relief to people, bringing food to the hungry. Bringing some sense of comfort and strength to people in their times of need. He went about primarily doing good. My wife this morning is sharing on a lady that's referenced in the preceding chapter in the book of Acts. This was from chapter 10 in the book of Acts. But in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, it talks about a lady named Tabitha. Does anybody know that scripture? She was a lady who had lived in the city of Joppa, a widow lady, a lady of some advanced years, a lady who had been through a bunch of stuff. You know, when you're widowed in Israel, that was not a good thing. That meant you were sort of valueless, you didn't have much to offer, and in fact, nobody really wanted you that much. And so the care of the widows was an important part of Israeli kind of life. And so this widow woman, Tabitha, her Greek name, Dorcas, was known. And here's what the scripture says. She was known for her good works. In fact, here's what the scripture says. She was a woman who was full of good works. Isn't that cool? She was, if anybody ever said, oh, do you know Tabitha? They would go, oh, yeah. And everybody had a story to tell. They would show the things that she had made, the stuff. You know what good people are like, don't you? I hope you know a few of them. In fact, I hope you are a few of them. Really, if you get the message today, it will spur you on to be one of those people. Because this is the reality of what God has created us for. But she was full. Here's what the Bible says. She was full of good works. She did so much of this stuff that when she died, when she passed away, they didn't want to let go of her. They prepared her, they washed her, they put her in the upper room, but they didn't want to let go of her. They came by the droves, bringing the stuff that she had made, telling the stories of the way her life and her goodness had impacted them. And they mourned and they wept and they cried and they sent for Peter. The reason he was even in Joppa for Cornelius to send for him to come and preach was because they had called him over there on the passing of Tabitha. And when he came, the Lord powerfully used Peter to raise this woman back up from the dead. Now that's miraculous. But the reason she is raised up from the dead, other than for the ultimate glory of God, is that the woman could continue on doing, you got it, doing good. Just doing good. Good works get a bad rap in the community of faith. I can hear some of you already quoting, well, we're saved by grace through faith. Not. Christians are famous for not. We're saved by grace. Well, let me read it to you. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. Here it is. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anybody boast. So say it with me, not of works. See, it's about faith, it's about grace, it's not about works. Ha ha. Well, before you ha ha, you should read the rest of the passage. Because the very next verse says, because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has preordained and prepared for you to walk in them. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, but for good works. Amen. In Titus, there's an interesting little passage, Titus chapter 2, verse 14, and it talks about how God is preparing to himself this peculiar, he's redeemed us from all iniquities, all of the sins. He saved us for a purpose, to make us a peculiar, anointed, specified people who are zealous for good works. I love that passage. Isn't that cool? We're not only into good works, but we have zeal about it. We have the Energizer stuff. What are we about? We're about going about doing good. If you're sitting around waiting for miracle power, you ought to get busy doing good. Seriously, why would God give you the power to heal the sick if you don't even care about them in their time of need? Why should God give you miraculous power to deliver the nations over whom you never weep? For whom you never advocate? Well, I'm waiting for anointing. Well, you are anointed. You are appointed. You are ordained to good works. I heard one solid amen. And the rest of you are going, oh man, now I'm feeling the pressure. Well, good. That's every bit of what I intend this morning for you to feel. I mean that sincerely. It's just, it's a beautiful thing. The work of God is not just the miracle power and the glorious stuff. It's the kindness. It's the everyday blessing that you bring into people's lives. It's looking at somebody who has this kind of look about them and bringing some courage to them, coming into their lives to say, hey, are you okay? It looks like you're being passed by everybody, but how about I don't pass you by? What is that? That's just good. That's just kind. That's just Christ-like. That's probably ordained of God. It's likely that many of you will pass many of your days without that many opportunities to do the miraculous. But every day, multiple times, you can do good. Amen. Can I read this scripture to you one more time so that you can sort of take it apart with me? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Why are we here? Why are we made? Why were we created? This is an essential question. We are created for good works. This is the goal. Amen. Look at you guys are going, is this a social gospel? Nope. Well, yeah, it has a social impact, but it's a spiritual gospel. Amen. You go around being kind, you go around being loving, you go around, if you go around being mean and grumpy and nasty, in Jesus' name. What is that? I mean, without being too, well, I'm already in your face. Let me be in your face for a minute. That is an offense to the gospel of God. We should be known for good works. We're a people who are zealous of good works. When they would write of the early Christians, that's what they would write about. These people are amazing. They just give their stuff away to everybody. They care about people that they don't even know. They get involved. They mind everybody's business, these people. And the people whose business they mind don't mind. Because they don't come along to instruct or to cajole or to correct. They come along to help and to encourage and to strengthen and to deliver. They are a people, a peculiar people, because they're zealous of good works. Amen. This is the goal. It's also the glory. It says here that we are created for good works, which God has ordained. Can I just say this differently? Here's the coolest part. God has set up already hundreds, if not thousands, of appointments for each of you. Hundreds and thousands of little moments when you don't have to be miraculously anointed, incredibly informed, divinely directed, even prayed up and paid up. You just have to be kind and caring and given to goodness and understanding that this is the glory. God presets the opportunities. Jesus gets up one morning. He kind of yawned. Jesus never yawned. Well, Jesus, poor you. Poor you for believing he never yawned. He says to the disciples, I got to go through Samaria today. Huh? We're Jews. We don't kind of go that way. I mean, we go past there. But we don't go through there. Why don't we go through there? Well, because they're there. Samaria. The thing about Samaria is it's laden with Samaritans. Half-breeds. Them. And we don't. With them. That'll be great on tape, won't it? Really, we don't associate with them. We don't love them. We don't get them. We don't do them. We don't. And it's okay with them because they don't like us either. Yeah, I know, but we're going through. And so they do. And it's an uneventful day till about noon. And around noon, Jesus just kind of takes a rest on the well while the guys go into town to get some meat, and there she comes. And there's the, he doesn't start out with this miracle thing, save you, save the town, do the things, blah, 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 blah. He just is kind to her. He's gracious to her. He's loving to her. He's willing to associate with her. He asks her for a drink. You know, and what's the end result of it? Just fast forward to the end of the story. It's in John chapter 4. What happens? The whole town opens its doors to the good God who shows up in Samaria. And they say, now we believe. Now we believe. Why? Because we've heard for ourselves. We've seen for ourselves. We've tasted for ourselves. Taste and see the goodness. Come on, of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the glory. God sets up these things for us. This is what Dorcas knew. This is what Jesus knew. This is what New Testament believers who are zealous of good works know, that God has already given us thousands of opportunities. Every day, in every way, we are able to do good. We are instructed to do good. We are anointed and appointed to do good. How do I know this? Because we are created in Christ Jesus unto these good works, which God has preordained. He has set them up. He has made them ready. He has set the stage on which you get to walk in the goodness and the kindness of the Lord. Amen. So it's not just the goal of good works. It's not just the glory that God sets them up. It's what I call the get to. I can see you just are stunned by that. I mean get to, as opposed to got to. See, that's the works-based theology that people shun and should shun.
God requires us to be perfect. You got to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You got to be, and you look at yourself in the mirror and go, okay, I'm done. I mean, the Greek term is screwed. Really, dog meat. I'm done. I'm dead. I just, if it's up to me to be all of that, I can't. And if that's what makes me right with God, then I will never be right with God. And that's the truth. But you're saved by grace through faith, not your works. But the God who saved you works in you to will and to do His good pleasure. Which is what? To be kind, to smile, to bring light into darkness, to bring encouragement, to bring hope to hopeless people, to bring a sense of truth and a sense of balance to people who are off kilter. Amen. To bring dignity and not shame, to bring the sense of the goodness of God into these situations. And we don't got to. We get to. Amen. Everywhere we go, we get a chance to do these things in the name of the Lord. It was Mother Teresa. You know the story of Mother Teresa, don't you? I mean, her whole history, the whole backstory of it is, it's kind of an interesting thing. She was like a nanny for some period of time and had this opportunity to have all this wealth and live in this massive kind of, beautiful kind of almost royal-esque thing and this environment. And she shunned all of that because of her commitment to Christ and goodness. And she took up a station in some of the poorest places in the world, in Calcutta, India, and just began to minister among them as a sister of mercy. That's what they call themselves, a sister. You might as well call themselves the sisters of goodness, of just going around doing good, helping people, caring for people, taking in the people that no one wanted, the people who were left on the streets, the throwaway people, the outcast people, the untouchable people. They touched the untouchable people. Oh, to bring healing. No, to bring God and His goodness and His touch. And it was Mother Teresa who famously said, every day, preach the gospel. Everywhere you go, preach the gospel. If it's necessary, use words. You get that? Preach the gospel everywhere you go, every day, with everyone. And when it's necessary, use words. It just basically says, hey, you have a chance today to do goodness. Amen. You do. And I pray, here's my prayer for you. My prayer for me is that God, open my eyes to the glory. I want to see the glory of God. Here it is. God made us to do good. He's preordained. He set them up. He's put the staging out there. Everything is set up for you and me to walk today in the goodness of the Lord. In the land of the living. And to bring His grace and His goodness and His truth and His kindness and His love and His mercy to bear into people's lives. You've been anointed for it. You've been appointed to it. God made you for these good works. And He's ordained that you and I walk in them in Jesus' powerful name. Is anybody in the house challenged by that but me? Come on, wave your hand. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking there's a whole bunch of opportunities to do some of that. Come on, wave them around. If nobody's waving to you, hit them. It'll be good for them. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, help us, help us, help us, help us. Help us, oh God. To be more and more like Jesus, more and more like Tabitha, more and more like Mother Teresa, more and more like the people who really get it, that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And You have ordained that we walk in them in the powerful Spirit of the Lord, and that by them we testify of the amazing fruit of the Spirit, of the goodness of the Lord that lives in and moves through us. We thank You for that. We get to do that. We say to that, yes and amen. So help us, God. So help us, God, to walk in Your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.